Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
That one guy with the sage, is that his whole job, right? The whole demolition? Just right. A month worth of sage, or is he going to get up there and maybe haul a few logs? Hello, Addison!
Billy Dukes, not only was this the finale of Yellowstone, but something happened during this episode that I thought about slacking you, and then I decided, I'll let him off the hook, I'll message him, or I'll talk about it on the podcast. You were epically wrong about something that I was pretty gung-ho would eventually happen on this episode, and so I won't give it away yet, but you know what I'm talking about.
Are we going to get right into the Billy was wrong portion of the podcast here?
I'm coming all guns blazing because I was pretty passionate about this. And you're like, I think this is going to be a don't worry about it, Addison. And I was like, but why would they go to the point of filming everything?
I think I played baseball growing up. So like if you went 1-for-4 in baseball, you're pretty good. Like that's a major league career. So I feel like the same way about my Yellowstone predictions. If I go 1-for-4, I'm good. 1-for-3, I'm a Hall of Famer.
Before we get to trivia, should we just tell people what we're talking about?
Yeah, go ahead.
Y'all, Lainey Wilson finally did make her cameo as Abby on this last episode. Billy had previously said, like, there's no way they're going to just shoehorn her into this last episode. My hot take was, why would they go to the extent of filming in Fort Worth? And not have her. And then we, you know, went back and forth of, well, why were they even filming in Texas? Which all of that was answered, which we can get into the like actual scene in a minute.
Yeah. One of the things I liked that this episode did really well was it tied up everybody's story.
Yeah.
I think just about everybody's story got wrapped up in some sort of way. And I thought that was good. It didn't just end with like the fire burning. And like you kind of were just left to believe that people kind of went on their way doing whatever. Like everybody, you knew what they were going to be up to. And I appreciated that.
Yeah, it definitely felt like the finale this episode did.
100%. 100%. All right. So much to get into. I kind of get your overall like take. If you liked the finale, if you didn't, and maybe we'll start there after trivia.
Okay. So what I do not remember what trivia was.
Well, you will.
Oh, yes, I do. All of a sudden, I just got really excited. Yes, I do remember.
Because you know this. You know this one. And actually, this is kind of ironic, actually. Trivia this week. This is, once again, for one of our many great Y Collection t-shirts at tasteofcountrystore.com. Still available for order and ship. And, well, if you hustle, you might get it by Christmas. Some great designs. And the first person with the correct answer gets to pick one of those great t-shirt designs in his or her size. Last week's was Landman, and 1923 actor Michelle Randolph has a very famous sister. Who is she, and why is she famous?
Can I answer it?
Go for it.
It's Cassie Randolph, who, why Billy is like, you're going to know this one, Addison, is she was one of the contestants on The Bachelorette, the ABC reality dating TV show.
Mm-hmm. She got linked up with Colton Underwood, or she was on the Colton Underwood season.
And I believe she won.
Yeah. And I believe that relationship, it'd be an understatement to say that things soured.
Yeah. Yeah. He ended up, yeah.
Well, I mean, later he came out as gay, which is one thing, but I think there was restraining orders and like
he put a tracker on her car.
Yeah.
It was dicey to say the least.
So, but let's give a big congratulations to your friend and mine, Johnny, getting in first with
Johnny,
the trivia.
Finally, Johnny's been at it for a while.
Yes, he's been trying every week, and I think he got within 6 minutes week, but this time he got in there and was first up. You could pick out one of those t-shirts of your choice, Johnny, and we'll send it to you. Tasteofcountrystore.com is where to go. And we do have one more trivia. Because I think we're going to do an episode next week on grading Yellowstone before we take a little bit of a break. So one more trivia this week for that we'll reveal next week if you want.
What is the trivia, Billy?
During John Dutton's funeral scene, there was a song called Ashokan Farewell by Jay Unger and Molly Mason that played. It was just a little fiddle, sort of funeral dirge. You might not have even thought of it as an actual song. Might have considered it just to be background music, but I Shazammed it and came up with those names. Not a very well-known song, but Taylor Sheridan has used it before on Yellowstone. Where else did Yellowstone fans hear that song?
Yeah, I don't know that. So I'm excited to learn next week.
Yeah, you won't. But when you find out, you'll be like, oh, that was clever. That was clever, Taylor. Mm. Like, I see you, big fella.
Save big this holiday season. All in the Kroger app.
Buy two, get three free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up. Then get a flavorful Kroger spiral sliced ham for 89 cents a pound with an additional $25 purchase. Limit two, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Let's jump into this finale, kind of dissecting. Speaking of Taylor Sheridan, Dukes, there was no reason for Taylor to be in this last episode.
I agreed. It started off with Taylor again, and I immediately was like, oh boy, this is not going to go well. Fortunately, there wasn't a whole lot of that, and he was kind of used just there to sort of resolve Teeter's plot. And sort of a last hurrah, a little bit of a party is, you know, awake. You have a funeral, then you have a little party afterward where everybody's drinking and sort of just releasing some steam. He was there for that, but he was kind of holding court, which is a little uncomfortable. But then he disappeared for the most part outside of a little scene somewhat down the road. But how did you give me your overall like impressions of this episode? Did you like it? Were you disappointed? How did you feel at the end?
I liked it. So a few things that I wrote down that I feel to your point, this episode was very much so of we got resolution for every single character. Like I felt after leaving this episode, okay, I can sleep at night. Like there's no questions I have in my head of where everyone ended up. And some things I wrote down was, and we can dive into them later, but Casey got his freedom. Beth avenged her father's death. Rip, he's still a rancher. That was kind of in question of what he's going to do after the Dutton Ranch is no longer theirs. Jamie got what he deserved. And then the reservation got their land back. I think that they did a really good job. If I was grading this A, B, or C for like this finale episode, I would give it an A. I wouldn't give it like an A plus. I do feel like at times it drug, and I don't really know how else they could have done that better, but it was, I'd give it an A. They didn't have to circle back to Ryan and Abby's character. That's Lainey Wilson and Ian Bone, but they did. And I appreciate that. We didn't really have to see where Teeter ended up, but it was cool to see that now she's going to Texas with Jimmy and, Travis and is going to work there. And, even just the way that they did, and I'm excited to maybe talk about this, the way my favorite part in this entire episode was the way in which they tied, if you haven't been paying attention to Yellows to 1883 and the seven generations that the land would eventually go back to the Native Americans, the way that they did that whole last scene was so good, in the graveyard scene and making sure that that was preserved because the Duttons have, you know, not getting rid of the grave site because the Duttons really have like cared for this land and that the Native Americans were going to respect that. That whole scene was just so freaking good.
It was very good, and it was very appropriate.
Yeah.
I mean, we'll get into more details in a moment, but like, I think the majority of people, especially the people who have watched 1883 as well, like definitely called how this show was going to go, like how it was going to end with the land going back to Rainwater and Jamie getting killed by Beth. I think those two things we felt for a long time were going to happen. Like there might be some twists, but those two things just had to be. And I think everybody was right on those. I tend to agree with you overall. I thought the finale was solid. I don't know if I'd go A, maybe A minus, but you know, that's probably just slicing hairs a little bit. It answered all the questions. It was emotional in a lot of different ways. It wasn't just Kevin Costner, John Dutton's funeral scene that was emotional to me. In fact, I thought there was more emotional scenes that hit me harder. You got this a pretty satisfying Beth Jamie scene. Mm-hmm. Like, it wasn't like an epic Yellowstone killing. Like, there have been others that were better, but it was good. It was strong. Like, I thought that was good. And then it kind of got us to like where we can see why there might be like some sort of season six or whatever Beth and Rip have signed up for at the end.
Yeah.
So it checked all the boxes in a pretty satisfying way. It was definitely probably the best episode of the season, I would think, as you would expect. In my opinion, what I'm finding out here, reading the comments and going on social media, is we may be in the minority. Like a lot of people were pretty disappointed with the finale and how it went down and everything that happened.
What were they hoping for?
A longer, more epic Jamie and Beth fight.
Why? Like I felt as if it was satisfying that she was the one who ended up killing him. And I don't know how else that really would have been done as a female human who's not like a hitman or something, you know?
I think back to that office scene fight from season two where Beth gets attacked, and that felt pretty epic. And one striking difference between the two is, for whatever reason, Beth goes after Jamie in broad daylight. So I think the daylight just kind of took a little bit of the drama out of it for me. Not a lot, just a little bit. It was about, you know, the actual fighting scene was probably 3 to 5 minutes and, you know, kind of went back and forth both ways. You knew Rip was coming. So it wasn't a big surprise when Rip actually showed up. It wasn't like this cathartic sort of moment that Rip's there to save the day. Like, you knew he was coming, like he was going to do that again. So that helped. I think some other criticisms were that maybe it didn't answer all the sort of questions that we've sort of asked, all the loose ends. I think people maybe were having some more historical sort of frustrations with how this season has gone, and maybe used that to kind of review the episode a little bit. I thought In a Silo, this episode was very good. As a season, we're going to talk about that a little bit later next week as well, and we'll grade that. That's a different story, in my opinion, but you know, it was maybe a 50-50 split, I think.
Staff at tasteofcountry.com, we want to hear your thoughts. How would you overall grade, or what was your thoughts on this finale, on this episode specifically?
So let's talk about how everybody's story sort of wrapped up. So this was, you know, we both listed it as sort of important, but everybody got a little line of dialogue saying what they're going to do now that they're no longer employed by the ranch. Do you remember any of them off the top of your head?
Well, Teeter, I mentioned earlier, she's going to go work for Travis.
Yeah.
Ian Bone, who plays Ryan, he goes off to Texas, Fort Worth, to pretty much, it sounds like he's giving up cowboying in general to essentially follow Abby, Lainey Wilson's character, and just that's his number one priority. Casey and Monica are going to, and actually I'm going to let you take this one because I actually was confused that the land that they're on is not exactly attached to the Dutton Ranch.
It was owned by the Duttons, but it was separated by government land that the Duttons leased. And they've essentially given that government land back to the government. So they got their own little 5,000 acre parcel that he's going to start his own cattle farm, his own brand of cattle on.
I loved that. It made me happy. Agreed. Because it very much so felt like, I mean, even when he didn't at the very end, Rip was like, do you want to take the sign with you? The sign that hung over the entrance of the Dutton Ranch where it says, you know, Yellowstone Dutton Ranch. And he was like, no, I don't want to take it. I mean, just the fact that he's just trying to create a whole new family branch for himself. And I loved the scene with him and Tate when they were buying cows to put on the land that now he is going to just nurture and create. And I just thought that was really sweet. And I don't know, it was heartwarming of, okay, they're like, the family unit stayed intact. Casey is free from just the choice he has to make. And they're starting fresh. And we're not going to see that, but I don't know. It just was really heartwarming.
Some of the other ones, we find out that Walker is going to go help out Laramie as she is on the rodeo circuit. He's going to go kind of in their camper and go all around. They even got down to like the granular, like even I think it was Ethan or Jake had a line saying that they signed on with another ranch down the road. So we found out where they're going to be. Didn't figure out where Gator's going, but I guess maybe he's the one that was kind of curious. And I guess, you know, Lloyd's future was kind of attached to that ranch. The previous episode, Rip says, hey, you want to stay on the ranch? And Lloyd says, sure, I'll do that. Then he comes back to him and Lloyd says, I want to pull that loose string out of West Yellowstone. I do not know what that means. I want to pull that loose string. It's not a ranching term. Like I got the impression he was done sort of with this cowboy life. Is he giving tours to tourists? Like what is this loose string out of West Yellowstone? Do you know?
Lloyd is at the visitor center just telling you where to go. I don't know.
I guess, I mean, he has a job lined up, which is important. You know, Jamie is at the train station.
Jamie's dead.
He dead. and then Beth and Rip have their ranch near Dillon, Montana, which geographically, I don't know if you've looked at a map like I have and compared like where to Dillon, Montana is relative to the Madison River Valley, which is where that new show Madison is taking place. Pretty close. Closer than... you know, where the Yellowstone was. So maybe there's some bleed over there between Beth and Rip and the Madison as those shows start to kind of come together.
Interesting.
Did you know who else showed up in this episode?
Who?
You remember Grandpa Felix?
No.
This is Monica's grandfather.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
And Tate early on had a relationship with him, but over the last two seasons, he's all but disappeared. Like while they were demolishing the Yellowstone Ranch, he was there lending a hand. It was a real quick flyby. You had to kind of recognize him, but I always wondered, but he was a good little character for what he did.
I thought that it was cool too, of how they were disassembling the Yellowstone Ranch, the house. They were taking it apart piece by piece. Like they could have just demolished it.
I thought that was neat as well. Like there was no wrecking ball. And there was apparently a tradition that kind of went along with it that I wondered how authentic it was. I guess I trusted that it was authentic, but part of it seemed like, is this what would really happen? Or is this just what they think that people want to see happen?
Well, I did think, I was like, after I was like, wow, this is so reverent and respectful. And then the second thought that went through my head is, gosh, this is going to take them forever.
Yeah. And those, you know, those guys banging the drum, that's cool. But are we cycling through there so everybody gets a break? Are those guys going to go swing a hammer at some point? Or is that all they got to do? Is that one guy with the sage? Is that his whole job, right? The whole demolition? Just a month worth of sage? Or is he going to get up there and maybe haul a few logs? Like I kind of wondered about the division of labor.
Yeah.
A little bit, but I haven't gone down that Reddit rabbit hole quite yet. But you know it's not above me to do so. No,
but I fully expect on the whole grading episode that you might be doing that.
We didn't break down necessarily the agreement that Casey and Beth made with Rainwater, but it answered a few questions, still left some questions unanswered, I think, that we're just going to have to live with. But more or less, they sold the entire ranch, 880,000 acres is what I think it calculates to, for $1.25 an acre, because that's how much it would have cost them to buy it back in 1883. So the price had some symbolism there. Equates to about $1.1 million that I guess Casey and Beth will split, in theory. And I guess the thinking is it either gets them out of some of those tax obligations, or what they earned through the fire sale is enough to kind of cover some of those fire tax obligations. Jamie was incensed that they sold it. And Beth was kind of laughing about how, like, his whole future crumbled. I didn't understand why Jamie's political dreams were tied to building that ranch. Like, to me, those things could have lived separately. But Jamie was really, really mad to find out that they had sold the ranch to Rainwater.
Yeah. I didn't fully understand that. But I also knew that he was about to die. So I think I was so focused on that I wasn't really paying attention to the logistics of the conversation.
Yeah, he's true. He's busy like pouring milk. I mean, did you know milk takes care of bear spray? I mean, that's just file that one away in my back pocket for if I'm ever accidentally shot.
I was just kind of squinting my eyes because I hate the gore scenes. And so I was just like, oh my gosh, just kill him already. I can't do this. But I've got to watch for the point, for the resources, for the knowledge of this podcast. I have to watch.
What was the most emotional scene for you?
I really enjoyed Rip burying John. That scene of he's been with John since day one and everything that John's done for him and the fact that, you know, he did not have to be the one who took the dirt and physically buried John, but he did. And that was just really, really touching to me. When Beth is walking into the barn and she sees her dad's coffin, casket. That scene also got me.
I was more choked up during the scenes later on when they were kind of saying goodbye to the ranch, like when Rip closed the barn door and they just kind of pulled back and showed the empty barn. And then when they're in that empty house, that felt familiar. I think anybody who's maybe moved out of their childhood house or moved out of really any house that had some significance could kind of feel that.
Yeah.
But then a lot of Casey's scenes, like that feeling Casey of freedom that he was feeling. I thought those were really emotional scenes, in my opinion. Maybe it's just because as a dad, as a father, I sort of understand that a little bit better. But this whole episode kind of worked to answer a question I've really had since day one, is like, who is the protagonist of this series? Like, who is the good guy? And because, John, Beth, Rip, all so difficult to kind of full stop root for. They all are like these flawed characters that are antagonists and protagonists. But Casey isn't. And I think Casey was sort of that like conflicted superhero type that you so often see in like movies. But it took John Dutton getting out of the way for Casey to sort of embrace that role. I don't know if that was Taylor Sheridan's plan to have John Dutton killed and then Casey step up in that sort of way, or if it was just sort of a matter of circumstance, like Kevin Costner's not around anymore, we got to get rid of John Dutton, Casey's next man up. But either way, it worked really well and answered that question of like who the good guy is in that show. And I think in the end, it's really the only one is probably Casey. I guess Rainwater too.
Yeah, Rainwater, I ended up liking him at the end of this. And I do feel like this Casey, Luke Grimes, really got his time to shine.
The show, I think one of the reasons why it was able to last through this maybe fourth and fifth season, which kind of were up and down a little bit, is because the characters were kind of iconic and like so many good characters. Plotline wasn't always there, but like Rainwater was like solid and strong. Mo, Rip, Beth, Casey, John Dutton, all of them were like clearly defined, really interesting characters. Mm-hmm. Like if that wasn't the case, we're not here. I don't think. I don't know. I mean, to go back to kind of that criticism that people have about the show and about this series, I give Taylor a lot of credit for building that. This was really his first show. I think some of the shows he's released since have been better. Almost all of them, really, with the exception of maybe Tulsa King, have been better than Yellowstone. But so I'll give him some sort of forgiveness there. But I'll think about this show for a long time.
I think Kelly Riley, who plays Beth Dutton, deserves an award. Her acting has been phenomenal.
I don't know if I watch enough television to really comment on that. Like, I watch these shows and some other shows. I think it's been good at times. Sometimes I wouldn't be mad if she won, but I don't know if I'll be the first to sign the change.org petition for her.
Okay.
Did you enjoy hearing Elsa's voice again, or did that give you PTSD?
Fair question to ask me. No, I actually really enjoyed it. Like I said, they did a really good job. The ending scene of tying 1883 to, like, if you have been a longtime fan and you have watched every series between 1923, 1883, Yellowstone, it tied everything perfectly, and I loved it. No, I love that she – remind me who plays Elsa Dutton. I don't remember her name.
Isabel May? Isabel May?
Isabel May. I think that
– is that her name? Isabel something. I forget the actor's name.
I'm looking. Don't you worry. yeah, Isabel May.
How would you describe her accent? I've never heard anybody talk like that. It's almost like this bourgeoisie sort of Southern accent if you had a British father.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's like a little bit, yeah, yeah. That actually is a beautiful way to describe it.
It doesn't fit the show at all. It works, but it don't fit.
I can't remember. Is that how she talks in real life? Sterling interviewed her, right?
Yeah, that's not how she talks. I think she just talks like a normal, you know, she's American. She just talks like a normal woman. That's not that remarkable.
That's who we should have had on this podcast is Faith Hill. That's such a random, it's all of a sudden that just hit me. I'm like, why? What? Yeah. Anyways, alas.
Next time,
2025 goals.
one last thing before we get to, I don't know if you have anything left, but one last thing I wanted to mention before we get to the Q&A was at the very, very beginning, they paid tribute to someone called Bob Avila.
Yes, I Googled, couldn't find him.
Yeah, just a cowboy. I guess he was kind of featured in some of the B-roll scenes from previous episodes. Just one of those Texas cowboys who maybe is well known on the circuit and died in November.
Dang.
Somehow. No one critical to the show, but just another one of those cases. Much like Billy Clapper and some other people Taylor Sheridan has paid tribute to. He wanted to – maybe they were friends.
Before we get to the Q&A, do you want to talk real quick about either 1923, which is going to be coming up, and you get to interview in a little bit Michelle Randolph.
Yeah, we're teasing this one up, so hopefully it comes through. But in about 2 hours from us filming this, I'm scheduled to have 10 minutes on a Zoom with Michelle Randolph, who plays Ainsley, the daughter in Landman. And she also plays, I forget her name. In 1923, she's Jack's wife, 1923. I'm really excited about that. Focus is kind of on Landman because that's the active show right now. But 1923 is starting up at the end of February. So I'm certainly going to ask her about that as well. And if you watch Landman, like her character is just a trip.
Unhinged.
Like, yes. Not like, I wouldn't call her like kind of like that ditzy blonde. Like she's smart. Impulsive, certainly. What's the word I'm looking for? Uncontrollable in some ways.
I think impulsive is a good word.
Yeah. So I'm super excited about that. So I assume that goes through, which I think it probably will. We'll tag that on to next week's episode.
Well, please tell her next time she comes to Nashville to come by our studio because I would personally love to meet her.
Yeah. Well, I think we all would. I think, any guy who's watched her on Landman would like to be there to watch her for that interview as well.
Well, that statement might come out a little less creepy if you tell her another female's excited to meet her. So I'm just going to just say
won't
that.
Lead with that.
Yeah, don't lead with that, Billy. I am looking forward to 1923, one that Brandon Sklenner gets to be on my television set again. And just also, I really enjoyed 1923. So I'm excited to kind of pick up where that left off. And I mean, who knows? I'm sure it'll have a lot of gore in it, but as long as it doesn't have as much as 1883 did, then I'm going to be okay.
So the full 1 minute season two trailer dropped during the Yellowstone finale last night. It debuts on the Paramount Plus. It's also confusing.
Gosh, it's the so streaming confusing.
Situation. It debuts on Paramount Plus on February 23rd. And I assume another 8 to 10 episodes. And this is it. It's just two seasons in 1923, and then we're done, as far as we know. So the whole story should wrap.
Great.
I didn't really dissect the trailer like in the way I kind of do. I haven't had time to do that yet. Looks like maybe there's a couple new characters, but really it's just sort of what we expect. Spencer is going to show up in Montana. Alexandra's trying to find him as well. And there's going to be sort of a clash between them and the character played by the British guy who was James Bond. I'm blanking on the actor's name, but the villain from season one. That's as far as I can tell. There's just going to be a continuation of the action and what we thought was going to happen from season one.
Q&A, are we ready?
Hit me.
Okay, the first one is from YouTube that says, I guess that Reddit post was true about the local scene Beth being carried out of Jamie's house. I forgot about that.
Yeah, this was back in August. Someone was really ticked at the Yellowstone production, and they like had this long Reddit post that described a major scene next door to them.
Yeah.
Beth getting carried out, assuming Jamie was dead, like, and all of this. And like, at the time it didn't really make sense because I'm like, what do you mean the neighbors, John, there's no neighbors on the Dutton Ranch. Like that would, they would, it's because it all took place at Jamie's house in the neighborhood. So of course this is how it happened. They were really disruptive. Like that 100% ended up being accurate. That woman out there just ruined the end for everybody, but no one believed her.
Yeah. No, that, gosh, I forgot about that. Alrighty, the second one is also from YouTube that says, nope, I'm done with the Yellowstone Sheridan universe. Making the audience wait 2 years for 6 episodes, and this was the best that he could do?
This is sort of the criticism we talked a little bit about. Like a lot of the people, I would say a good half the people whose comments I saw did not like the finale. Now, again, this is not a fair sample of like everybody who watched, right? The people who go to YouTube and go to Twitter and Facebook to comment are generally the people who are a little angry. This was got a lot of criticism, and part of it was for this reason, like 2 years, 6 episodes, disappointed with it. And in fairness to Taylor Sheridan, like the 2 years wasn't his fault. Like there was a Hollywood writer strike. There was a Screen Actors Guild strike that shut the whole thing down.
Yeah.
So that was part of the drama there. And then between all that, Kevin Costner leaves, of course. So like 6 more episodes, I don't know. I'm not going to hold all that against the guy. It's a fair opinion. I'd watch other, you're missing out on a lot of good Taylor Sheridan shows if you're just giving up on the man at this point. So hopefully you come back, but I don't know. I just wanted to recognize sort of validate sort of the criticism, which I guess we didn't necessarily feel.
And then the last one is from Angela, who says, this is a television show. There are no taxes. I'm not tracking on that one.
Yeah, I think because we got a little deep in the weeds on Montana tax code last time, trying to explain why Casey's plan to sell the ranch might not work. And I
would fair. Like to say, Billy, I don't think this was a we situation. I think this was very much so, considering I'd never get in the weeds on any of that. I'm like, me.
So there are no like sales taxes in Montana. There's no inheritance tax. All the taxes would have been federal taxes. And like whether or not they would have had to pay some sort of capital gains tax, I guess we're just going to have to kind of sort of get over it, which is to what Angela's credit. That's what she's saying. Like probably doesn't matter. Move it along and just accept that this is a television show. And okay, I see you, Angela. That's a fair point. Thank you.
Well, y'all, as always, this episode, the Dutton Rules podcast, is another invigorating House for Media podcast.
I do feel invigorated, Allison. I do feel invigorated.
Well, I really saved that. I saved the best for last.